Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or a question about current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673, and it'll work anywhere in the U.S., and I believe it even works in parts of Canada, at least. We've had some people call from Canada, I believe, on that number, but we certainly welcome your call, 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you bless now, use the program tonight for your glory. Pray you guide us, Lord, and we just pray we lift up and glorify Christ through the things that we talk about. And Lord, just pray that somehow, some way, through what we talk about this evening, we can be a help and a blessing to somebody and encourage somebody that's searching to point them to Christ, that they might find Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior as well. And again, we just thank you. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be on the air with you tonight, and it's turned into be a nice day here today in northeastern Ohio. We had a lot of rain this past weekend. It just started sprinkling when I was heading home on Friday after our Friday radio program. We do a program every Friday at 1:30 until 2 o'clock. It's a half-hour program on our local station here in northeast Ohio on AM 1220, The Word. And I got home and I thought, boy, you know, if it stays clear, I might actually consider trying to get at least some of my yard mowed before our Bible study at church tonight. And breathed a sigh of relief when I got home. It started sprinkling, so I didn't have to mow the grass. And then it started sprinkling and rained and sprinkled all night long, all day Saturday, all Saturday night. Got chilly Saturday night, down to 46 degrees at our house. And then this morning it started drying up. Sun came out today, and what a gorgeous day. And I guess we've got a little warm-up coming this week here in northeastern Ohio. And I hope wherever you're at in the country, that you're going to have some good weather this coming week. And you can get out and enjoy it. I think I'm going to have to get out and mow my grass this week after all. But, I want to give thanks to the Lord. We had a good service today, and I want to remind you that you can visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me, more about the program, and you can also listen to past programs if you're listening to us down in Florida on Faith Talk 570 or 910 WTBN in Florida. You know, you can still listen to our Friday afternoon programs, either the posted ones online at livewithpastoral.com, or you can also go to the radio station up here, WHKWradio.com, and you can listen live online. You can listen to that anywhere that you're at, certainly at WHKWradio.com. You can listen live whether we're on Friday afternoon at 1:30 till 2 or here on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight. And then again, of course, if you sometimes people want to stay up and listen to the whole program, but they find themselves going to sleep by 11:30 or so, and they miss the last half of the program. If that happens to you, don't worry about it. You're not alone. A lot of people want to listen, but yeah, it's a busy day today on Sunday for a lot of people. It's church and everything, and they're tired. Got to get up in the morning for work on Monday morning. And so I get a number of people who will go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, and they'll listen to some of those programs. Let me also, while I'm talking about some of these things, mention real quick our church anniversary. anniversary at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, is coming up next week, a week from today, I should say. And if you're in northeastern Ohio and you can come out and visit us at 5171 Brecksville Road, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express there in northern Summit County, right where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. We're right there. You can see the highway out the windows, actually. We're that close. And we'd love to invite you to come. If you got your own church to go to in the morning, by all means, go there. But at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we're having a gospel concert with Eric Howitt. Some of our listeners know Eric Howitt quite well, and he will be with us on Sunday morning during our morning service. He'll also be there doing a gospel music concert. It's free. It's free on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock this coming Sunday, so I encourage you to come out. If you got a chance, you can come out and visit us. We'd love to have you, and I'd love to get a chance to meet you. All right. Well, as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have George calling in already this evening. And George, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, sir. And I just love your program.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and glad to have you on with us tonight.
I just like the way you expound on the Scripture.
Well, you know, I tell people I have a nursing home service. As one lady, she'll say, "How do you know all that stuff?" And I say, "Well, it helps when you have good material. I've got the Word of God. That you can't get much better material than that."
I try to. Last Sunday night, and
yes,
I got
sir.
In the shutout, see?
Uh-huh.
But the Scriptures, I wanted to get an interpretation on Matthew 7 and 5.
All right, Matthew chapter 7.
And verse 5.
All right, let's see here. Matthew chapter 7 and let's see, verse number 5, where it says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Is that the passage we're looking at?
That's it.
All right. All right, sir. What's your question?
Huh?
What's your question on that?
To me,
mm-hmm.
is when I have to have my eyes clear before I can get something out of somebody else's eye.
Yeah, in fact, that's what he says in the previous verses there about, looking at the mote. And it says here in the King James, the mote, which is a little speck of dirt or a little splinter. You're looking at a little speck of wood or a splinter in your brother's eye and pointing out all his faults and not considering the beam, a big piece of timber that's a log that's sticking out of your own eye, and you're not paying attention to that. And
that's it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. He says, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt clearly, or then thou shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And you're absolutely right. We have to, we've got to look to ourselves first.
That's it.
Yeah, we got a lot of people. I think I had a friend of mine when I was in the Air Force. He liked to draw little cartoons. He was talented like that. And he drew a cartoon one time, actually, of this passage. And he had two guys standing in the cartoon. And in one eye, they had a little splinter. In the other eye, they had a big log sticking out of it. And they were whacking each other over the head with the log, that they had in their eyes, while trying to get the little splinter out of the other eye. It was a pretty good cartoon, and it really carried the theme of that, I think. We're so busy whacking people over the head with the log in our own eye while we're trying to get that little splinter out.
That's it. I just like the way you said that, too.
Yeah.
I listen to a minister comes on every night, and he talks about basically the president.
Uh-huh.
And he calls him the great, great man of sin. And I said, now, Romans 3:23 said we all have sinned.
Yes, absolutely,
now,
we have.
You so go down on this man about sin, and you sin too. And then you, like you say, you get the beam out of your eye, and you get the mote out of mine.
Yeah. Let me give you a good passage to go with that. And I like to look at John, the Gospel of John, in verse number 24. Because when we're there in Matthew chapter 7, it started the chapter by saying, judge not that ye be not judged. And then it goes into talking about judging yourself before you, you know, look at the splinter in somebody else's eye. But in John chapter 7, this is a great verse, verse 24. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And if you think about that, what we need to do is we need to judge everything according not to ourself or our self standard, but according to God and God's standard.
All right.
And, you know, when we do that, you'll see the beams in your eye pretty quickly, won't you? And, you know, we see those things, and we that tells me we've got to get our heart right with God. And then... when we get our heart right with God, then, you know, God will use us sometimes to judge with righteous judgment, and he does raise up people. You look at some of the things Paul said, you know, beware of, I'm trying to think of the guy who's the coppersmith, you know, Demetrius, I think was his name, and he said, watch out for him, and he pointed out some of the things there, and sometimes things have to be pointed out, but they have to be pointed out as God guides us and as God gives us wisdom, and I'm always remembering there's another passage. The reference escapes me right now, but says that what we're supposed to do with love.
That's it.
And you think about that. God condemns a lot of sin in the Bible, but you know the Bible says that even though God hates the sin, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, does he? You know, I've seen some people and heard some stories of people that almost are gleeful when unsaved people die and they say, well, now they're getting what they deserve. And they, boy, I'm glad of it. That's not right.
That's it.
The Bible says that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And, you know, if we have that verse, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, we're not going to take pleasure in the death of the wicked either, because why would we take pleasure in something God has no pleasure in? I mean, it's you think about it. I read a great book years ago. I had gotten a hold of a book. Did you ever hear years ago Oliver B. Green on the radio? You ever hear him?
Who?
Oliver B. Green.
No, I don't remember.
He went to be with the Lord some years ago when he was fairly old then, and in fact, he used to close his program by saying, and God save that poor, wicked church member that's closest to hell, you know, and, but he was an old-fashioned preacher of the gospel, and he wrote a booklet one time, or a little book, short book, and the title of the book was, Why Does God Desire to Damn You? And the idea, you know, that why does the devil desire to damn you is what I mean. And the idea is that why does the devil want to condemn you to hell? Why does the devil do everything he can to keep people from getting saved? And that's what we mean by that, that he wants them to endure eternal damnation in hell. And he made a great point in this book. He said it's because the devil hates God and he cannot hurt God directly, so he attacks what God loves, which are the people that he created. And the people that he created, you and I, if he can keep us from getting saved, then, you know, the devil is happy because he knows he's breaking God's heart when God has to send another one of his creation out into, you know, eternal damnation. And so, you know, why would we take pleasure in something that breaks God's heart? And, you know, so when God does move us to move in judgment against somebody and speak out about the evils in the world, somebody told me one time, you should always do it with a tear in the corner of your eye. There ought to be a little compassion. There ought to be a little concern because, you know, that could have been us. We could have been that person that we're talking about.
That's it.
And if it weren't for the grace of God, you know, it could have been us.
Yeah,
so.
My other question was, explanation I wanted on Ephesians 5:27.
All right, let me take a look over here. Ephesians chapter 5.
Yes, sir, and verse 27.
All right, Ephesians chapter 5. And here's chapter 5. Let's look down in verse number 27. Talking about the, let's see, let's put this, I like to put things in context because it really helps understand sometimes. And this is a sentence that actually starts in verse number 25, okay? So we'll start reading in verse 25. It says in Ephesians 5, I'm going to read verses 25 through 27. That's the whole sentence.
All right.
It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And the overall context here, he's talking about, you know, the relationships that we're in, husbands and wives, children and parents, and things of that nature. And I believe that in this chapter, he's pointing out areas where the devil attacks these relationships. But even more than talking about these relationships, part of the key here in verse 32, where it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And the relationship between the husband and the wife is a picture of the relationship between Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, which is the bride. And you see here that the husbands are called to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The type of love that Jesus died for us, he gave himself for us. And as husbands, we ought to love our wives so much that we would give ourselves, our own lives, as a sacrifice to protect our wives, and really our children too. Just like Christ loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And the reason is that Christ gave himself for us, that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, meaning us, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So Jesus died on the cross that we can be cleansed from our sins, and that we can be a part of the bride of Christ there in the first place. And then when you think about it, we're washed in the water by a washing of water by the word. And as you read the word of God, and you've been saved, how many years would you guess you've been saved approximately?
I won't say 50 years.
All right. You sounded like you've been with the Lord for a while, so that's why I asked that.
I'm 86 years old.
Well, amen. You're about 2 years younger than my dad. He'll actually be 88 in just a few weeks.
Oh, but, praise God.
Amen. But let me share this now. You think about this. When you were a young Christian, did you walk as close with the Lord as you do today?
Oh, no, sir.
But over time, as you've read the Word of God, what's happened in your life? Hasn't the Lord changed you?
Yes, sir.
See, that's the washing of the water by the Word. And as a believer, you know, gets under the preaching of God's Word and studies the Bible and memorizes Scriptures, it begins to change you, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, and so as it changes you, do you know what Jesus is doing? He's cleansing you from all those spots and wrinkles.
All right.
You think about that. You get some clothes, you know, you get a nice pair of pants, or a lady has a nice dress, and it gets dirty, right? And it gets wrinkled. So you put it in the laundry, and you clean out the dirt and you run it through the dryer, and if necessary, you take the iron to it and you get rid of the spots and the wrinkles that you can pull it out and have a pure, clean garment. And that's what Jesus is doing with us. He's cleansing us. He's ironing out the wrinkles so that when we come to be with him in heaven, we'll be presented in heaven holy and without blemish. That's a great picture, isn't it?
You know, I just like the way you expound on the word.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. I hear ministers on these programs saying that And one minister said a lot of people call him and want to know when Jesus going to return. And I said, nah, it's got to be something wrong. Why would they call him?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you when Jesus is going to return. I'll tell you about 5 seconds after it happens.
Okay, but let, you know? Let me say this, Pastor.
Yeah.
They say, and you know, they say, oh, I can't wait for Jesus to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be glad when he returns. And I said, now, you better know what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Because when he returns, he's looking for a church without the spot or the wrinkle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if you're not in that church, you're going to be here.
Well, you got to be saved.
That's it.
Yeah. Hey, and you reminded me of something good there, because Timothy, at the end of his life, let me see if I can find this real quick. He's in Rome. He's about to be executed, and he's coming down to the end of his life here. And where is the passage at? I can't see it here. But he's talking about how he's ready to be offered. And here we are, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he says this in verse 6. And you made me think of this when you're talking about the return of Christ. And he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He's saying here, I've done the things that God asked me to do, and now I'm ready to go. And he says this in verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." I've preached on this passage in the past, and I've asked the question, which are we loving more? The fact that Jesus is coming and we're going to see him, or the fact that we're leaving this world behind?
All right.
You know, I think that puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Because a lot of times we focus on, boy, I'll be so glad to go. No more taxes, no more doctors, no more aches and pains, and, oh, I can't wait to go. When we should be focusing on, I am so looking forward to being able to see the Lord. There's a song I woke up this morning and it was on my mind. It was the song, you know, "Is it the crowning day? Jesus may come today, glad day, glad day. Is this the crowning day?" And talking about, could this be the day the Lord comes back for us? And if it is, I'll see my friend, you know, and it's
all
focusing
right
on being with the Lord. And that's a great thing, isn't it?
Yes. Ooh, you know, sound like I've been to church already.
Well, I appreciate that. You make me feel pretty good with that, too. So, but, hey.
Oh, I tell you, I want to get to your church.
Well, if you get a chance and you want to join us on our anniversary, we'll be this Sunday. We have a anniversary service, and at 2 o'clock, we have a gentleman, Eric Howitt, a tremendous singer. He's going to be singing at 2 o'clock, a little gospel concert, and certainly invite whoever wants to come or can come to come. So,
well, see, right now the church that I attend, they're celebrating that church anniversary.
Oh, well, you need to be at your church for that. So, yeah.
But if it's all possible, and the Lord says so, I'm going to try to pay you a visit.
Well, we'd love to have you. And of course, if this should turn out to be the crowning day, and we'll go see Jesus together, and we'll get to meet there. How's that?
Oh, that's fine.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing.
We'll all get to heaven. There'll be a day of rejoicing.
Yeah, what a day of rejoicing that shall be. I love that song.
All right.
So,
well, yes. Thank you so much, Pastor Al, and God bless you. And keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, George, and call us back again sometime. And Lord willing, one day, as a guy down, some people listening might remember Dr. Bruce Cummins, who's with the Lord now, he used to close his radio broadcast saying, "Till we meet here, there, or in the air." So that's a good way of looking at it. So, hey, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. And,
all right. Thank you for your information.
Well, thank you. God bless you.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate that. And, of course.
And have a blessed one.
And you too.
I always close out with, when I talk to people, keep looking up, holding on. Help is on the way.
Amen. That's right. Excellent. So, thank you much.
All right. Have a blessed night.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right.
And
bye-bye.
I want to remind you, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got a break coming up here in just a minute or two. And if you call in, we'll get you on the air. And if you want to hold over through the break, it will get to you in the second half of the program. But that number again is 888-677-9673, and that's for our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And you just think about the things that are happening in the world. As our caller said, we keep looking up, help is on the way. It made me think of another song. We haven't sung in a while because we don't have the music for it to play it at our church, but there was a song, Sound the Battle Cry, and it talks about lifting the banner high and signaling up to heaven, and Jesus signaling back saying that he's on the way. And I wish I could remember the lyrics there to that song, but made me think of that. But at any rate, let me just encourage you, go check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I want to remind you that, too, last week we had Tom Wallace on, a Fortress of Faith radio program. You can find him at fortressoffaith.org. And we were talking about civilizational jihad and the invasion, which is what it is, of Islamic immigrants into Western or into Europe, and also trying to come into America and Canada, and the problems. And if you've been looking at some of this online, in fact, you can find the program. It's uploaded at our website, livewithpastoral.com. But it's turning out more and more that ISIS, as much as a year ago, was saying that they were going to flood Europe as well as America and Canada and different places with jihadis disguised as refugees. And if you look at the pictures of these waves of refugees, they all seem to be young military-aged men, very few women, very few children. And so we need to be careful. We live in troublesome times. Stay tuned for the second half of our program.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286.
Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And just remind you, as you heard, that the program is certainly sponsored by our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Invite you to come out and visit us this coming week, a week from today. We have our anniversary services and a special gospel music concert with Eric Howitt at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, cross. And we'd love to have you there. Also want to remind you that we're brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. They've got calzone, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps. They've got Lebanese food, and they got a whole lot more. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And also, you can call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And we mentioned this on our Sunday night program to let you know, if you're even out of the area, you might not be able to get there to enjoy the pizza. And I'll tell you, it's some of the best pizza I've ever had. But if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop or adding pizza to a restaurant that you already have, you're looking to add pizza to your line of offerings, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. All right, we're going to get back to our programs here. And again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can check us out on the web at livewithpastoral.com. You can link from there to our Facebook page. Encourage you to check out our Facebook page and like us on Facebook. You can find out more there. I try to list a bunch of articles and things that are on Facebook to try and encourage people, and some things that I come up with every once in a while that I find interesting, and found one on there that's kind of a neat idea, and a neat thing when you look at it. Here in northeastern Ohio, where I'm located, we're going to have the 17-year cicadas come up. They're going to emerge from the ground next spring and early summer time frame. And if you're familiar with what these what we call the periodic cicadas, we call them locusts, but they're really called cicadas. Locusts are really those giant grasshopper type bugs that you see around in late summer. But cicadas are very interesting insects, and there's the regular cicadas that come up every year, but the periodic cicadas are really unusual. There's a number of what they call broods of these cicadas, and there's, I think, about 12 17-year cicadas and three or four, I believe, 13-year cicadas. And what's interesting about these is 17 and 13 are both large prime numbers. Now, a prime number is something very interesting. It's a number like 1 or 2 or 3, also 5, 7, Let's see, I think 11 would be the next one, 13, and then 17. And a prime number is a number that's only divisible by itself and the number 1. See, 1 is made up of 1 times 1 is 1, and nothing else. So you can only divide it by 1. And a 2 is made up of 2 times 1 is 2. And so you can only divide it by 2 or a 1. Number 3, likewise, 1 times 3 is 3. 4 is not a prime number because 4 can be made up from 2 times 2 is 4 or 4 times 1 is 4. So it's not a prime number because it's divisible by the number 2 as well as a 1 or a 4. And so hopefully you get the point there on the prime numbers. But what's unusual about the prime numbers is that when we search for evidence of intelligent life in the stars, listening for radio signals from space, what they're looking for is sequences of prime numbers, because a prime number does not have the repetition cycle as easily as, say, numbers like 4 or 10 or something like that. And so they decided, in searching for extraterrestrial life or signs of intelligence in outer space, they would analyze radio signals that they pick up. And stars and things generate radio signals naturally themselves. But if there's an intelligent civilization out there and wants to make themselves known, they figure they would do it by using prime numbers. Now, interesting, the Bible talks about the heavens declare the glory of God in Psalm 19, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And we see looking at these cicadas that when they hatch out of their eggs, the nymph drops down to the ground, burrows into the ground, and they don't go dormant. They live for either 13 years or 17 years underground. And during that entire time, they're alive. They feed on the juices out of roots that they tap into, kind of like an aphid. And they feed on the juices in that root, and then over time they grow, and then whether they're a 13 or a 17 year cicada, in that year and that year alone, the cicada knows that when the temperature of the soil reaches about 64 degrees, they all begin to emerge all at once. Literally billions of cicadas begin to emerge. In some cases, it might be over a trillion cicadas they estimate emerge. And if you've ever seen the 17-year cicadas or the 13-year cicadas when they come out, it's absolutely an incredible sight. They're these large bugs, and they come out of the ground, and they're still in a juvenile stage. And they climb up on vertical things. If you're standing on the ground, standing in the yard, when they start to emerge, they'll climb up your pant leg, and because they think you're a tree, they'll climb up fence posts, they'll go up the side of the buildings, they'll go up tree trunks, and then they get so far up, and then they molt, and the adult emerges from the shell, and they leave behind these little kind of light tan, light brown colored shells behind, and they're just amazing to look at in and of themselves. But as the adult cicada comes out and stretches out its wings and unfolds its wings, and then it begins to fly up, and then they begin to make that buzzing sound, which, you know, when the cicadas emerge and they're at their peak, they all come out within just a few days of each other. And when they get going, it really gets loud. They've measured them at as loud as 90 decibels when they have a bunch of them all making this buzzing sound that they make. They don't hurt you. They can't bite you. They don't sting or anything like that. They simply climb up, and they have mouth parts which are designed to bite into the green or tender parts of a twig, and then they suck the liquid out, the sap out, like aphids do. And then when they breed, the females cut a little V-shaped groove into the twigs, and they lay eggs in there just underneath the bark layer, just inside of that little V-shaped groove that they make. And sometimes, because there's just so many of them, you'll see when they lay their eggs, the end of the branches turn brown where it kind of It dries out the twigs, and it really doesn't hurt the trees unless it's a very young tree. But for the most part, it doesn't hurt the trees. It just makes them a little bushier next year. And so they don't hurt too much of anything. And then everything out there just starts feeding on them like crazy. Birds, cats, dogs, foxes, possums, mice, snakes, spiders, everything feeds on the cicadas when they're out there. And it's really amazing. There's just so many of them that everything eating them, it doesn't hardly even make a dent in the overall population. And then within several weeks, it's all over. The eggs have been laid, and then when the eggs hatch, the nymphs hatch out. They drop down into the ground, they burrow into the ground, and you don't see them again for the next 13 years or 17 years. Now, again, we look up into the sky, and we think we're going to find signs of intelligence by seeing these amazing patterns with and amazing things with prime numbers. But yet when we look at the ground at our feet, and we see something amazing with these cicadas that emerge every 13 years or 17 years, everybody says, oh, pure chance, pure chance. No signs of intelligent life here. I think the no signs of intelligent life is the people who fail to realize the signs of intelligent life that are all around us, the signs of a creator, God that's the creator, God who made the heavens and earth, has evidence of his creation all around us. For those who have eyes to see, those who have ears to hear, those who want to know the truth can find the truth. There used to be a program, The Truth Is Out There, back, what was that, The X-Files or something. The truth is out there. It is for those who want to see it. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to see it. I've mentioned it many times before. My forest biology professor, when I was at Colorado State University, my senior year class the forest biology class at the end of the semester, the professor said quite candidly, he said, I believe in evolution because the only other alternative is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. He didn't say because it's not provable. He didn't say because there's no evidence for it. He said he made a choice because he did not want to believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's like the old saying, there's none so blind as he who will not see. That's the very definition of ignorance, to not want to know. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Now, let me give you a little interesting news item that I just saw this evening as I was getting ready for the radio program after church tonight, grabbing a quick bite to eat and trying to look at some of the things that are happening in the news. In Israel, in Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount, there's a group of people, older men and women, Palestinian men and women, Muslims, who, if anybody even looks like they're beginning to pray or close their eyes like they might pray or even sing a song, they begin yelling and screaming at them and even throwing things at them. And they've been banned from the Temple Mount now, but I don't know how related that is to this story, but the Israeli police forces in Jerusalem received a tip that there were plans to attack Jews visiting the Temple Mount early Sunday morning. And that's one of the days of the week that Jews and Christians are allowed up on the Temple Mount. And when they got this news, they went there and they began to detain the rioters, who then rushed away from them and barricaded themselves inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque and began hurling rocks and firecrackers at the police outside. The police eventually got in and entered the mosque and brought them out. But the interesting thing that they found there was suspected pipe bombs that they were there, and they had to bring in the bomb disposal people. So no telling what they were trying to get started there on the Temple Mount. And so, as the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our phone number. And we have Joyce calling in tonight. And Joyce, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
For taking my
call.
You were talking about the immigrants.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking that now most of these people are Muslim, right?
Oh, yeah, because in fact, there's stories out there that there had been some ships and different things where some Christians had been discovered with them, and they actually threw them overboard in the sea and drowned them.
Okay.
But yeah, what you see mostly is young Muslim men in their like 20s and 30s.
Because they're like from Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan?
Primarily from Syria.
Yeah.
And also Iraq to a lesser degree.
Well, I was just thinking, because I think I had read some time ago that there's about 21 Muslim countries.
57, I believe it is.
And I was just wondering why they aren't taking these people in.
Well, you're absolutely right. For instance, the Gulf states, Qatar and Kuwait, and also Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, they're not accepting any of these people. A few did go into Germany, and a few Egypt. But most of them are heading into Europe, and it's interesting.
And this is a strange thing that's happening right now, because I've never seen anything like this.
Well, let me give you something else that goes along with this. The Greeks intercepted a ship that was supposedly bringing aid, food and different things to provide aid to these refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And when they opened the containers, they were full of weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and ISIS said a year ago that they were going to flood Western Europe with 500,000, I think it was, basically jihadis. And they were also going to send them into the United States, into Canada, and into other parts of the world. And interestingly enough, Russia's not allowing any in. China's not allowing any in.
Right.
And there's, I don't know how credible this story is, but I was reading this, and there are some reports out there that one of the plans is that once they get them in place and finding a shipload of weapons bound for these, aid for refugees, and it was all weapons and everything, lends a little credibility to this. But there was some stories out there suggesting that part of the plan is once they get them into place that they were to begin simultaneously around the world where they wind up at making attacks in the host country.
And I think people need to really be aware of what's going on, and I think a lot of most churches, I think, are not speaking out and letting people know what's actually.
Absolutely.
I think people are just ignorant as to what is actually going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also talking about evolution.
Yes.
And did you read in the paper the other day about they found these bones, all of these bones, in a cave in Africa, and they're calling them a close cousin to us?
Yeah, it's the new Homo begins with an N, Nardi or something like that. They're trying to come up with a name. And it's presented that way in the popular press. And you have to remember, when they put this stuff in the press runs with it. And there's a reason they do, because it promotes the whole evolutionary idea.
Right.
But there's a lot of controversy as to whether they are a separate new species or anything.
Well,
and
that's what I was wondering, because they're just bones, and so they put these bones together. So I guess this builds them up in their evolution theory, because, with putting these bones together and saying they are first cousin of ours.
Yeah, and they do that because they're so desperate. I saw a great picture. They had a picture, you know, you ever seen that supposedly the ascent of man, it starts with a right. monkey-like creature, and then it goes to modern man on the other end. And it said, okay, there are millions of these today, and they pointed to the monkey. And it said, and there are billions of these today, and it pointed to the man, and it said, how come there are none of these? And it pointed to the supposed ones in between.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good question. See, the missing link that they're still trying to find to justify evolution has caused people to put outright frauds out there.
Right.
Piltdown Man, I believe, was the one that was just a complete fraud. And they actually took some teeth and they stained it to make them look old and all kinds of things. I think they were teeth from a gorilla or something like that. And I believe Java Man, I may be confusing Java Man, but I think it's Java Man was the one that they had the pig of the tooth of a pig, and they called that a man's tooth, a supposed predecessor of ours. And on the basis of a pig's tooth, they invented a whole man, and that supposedly lived and died out, and that's the only evidence that he left behind.
And it's amazing what people believe, and this is why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart that
right.
he is God.
That's absolutely right, because there's such abundant evidence of God.
Right. Right.
And, you know, if you think about it, you know, we've all seen people who look different than other people.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of variety in people.
That's right.
Think about it. You know, anybody who's ever seen the old Wizard of Oz show movie knows about the little people that they used. They cast for that movie a whole bunch of people who were dwarves.
Yeah,
they were people who were just like you and I, human beings, but for a variety of reasons they never grew beyond a certain height.
Right, and then there were the giants.
Yes, and Goliath
people.
In the Bible was a was a, and even today some basketball players today over 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
and I don't know about you, but I'd be looking up to that guy.
That's right.
I'd come up to his shoulder. I don't know. I'd probably be looking up to his shoulder, and because I never quite made 6 feet tall. My dad was 6 feet three, but I never made 6 foot myself. Uh-huh. But you know, and so you see quite a variety. And you see that with all kinds of living creatures. Look
That's
at dogs,
right.
for instance.
That's right. All one blood.
Yeah. Every human being is related.
Right.
We're all the same.
All one blood.
Yeah. I was going to use the example of dogs. I have some friends that love these miniature dachshunds, and they are cute dogs. They're funny to watch. Tiny little things. But I remember knowing somebody when I was in college who had a Great Dane. And good grief, that thing would pull you around the yard if you fell down when it was running, holding on to the leash, it'd pull you, drag you along the ground behind it. It was like a small horse. And yet nobody says, oh, look at this little dachshund is the predecessor of the Great Dane.
That's right. That's
and so why do we do that with human bones?
We do. That's right.
It's because they're doing everything they can to try and find the missing link to justify evolution. Even Darwin said, if we can't find these fossils, then the whole theory collapses.
But the point of it is, I believe that God has put in the heart of every man that there is a God.
You're absolutely right.
So that it's their own fault if they leave here and don't have him.
And that's where in Psalm 19, I was mentioning that before. And let me turn over there real quick. We're coming down time-wise here. But let me turn over to Psalm 19 because this ties in with what you were saying. God puts it in every man's heart
that's
that there
right.
is a God. And
right.
then he also gives them reason to believe that there is a God. And
that's
Psalm
right.
19 says very clearly in starting verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That means everywhere in the world, there's no reason that people cannot look at the stars at night or watch the weather and the sun during the day and say, there's got to be a God.
That's right.
But you know,
that's also Romans 1 lets us
know that talks about that, about their foolish hearts being darkened and
that's
they turn
right.
from the creature or the creator
God.
To the creature.
That's yes. right. And, nice talking to you, Pastor. Yeah,
well, thank you, Joyce. I appreciate the call tonight. And, you know, this is why we have to let people know who God is, because it's in the heart of man to search. That's why people are religious. That's why they've never discovered a culture that doesn't have some form of religious worship in it. People are crying out, trying to find out who that creator is. And it's our job to tell them that it's Jesus Christ who in the beginning created us. He created us. He loved us. He made a way of salvation by dying and shedding his blood for us. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.